to Weigh In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Parvin, joined tonight, as always, with co-host Trey Patterson. Hope you had a Merry Christmas, Trey. How's everything going?
I was in town. Can you hear me, Tarvin?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I had a great Christmas, man. Family's in town. How was yours?
Oh, it was great. Came back from Tennessee last night in a monsoon rainstorm, so that was tough. Got home at 3 a.m. this morning. But other than that, it was a great Christmas, as always. Getting to spend time with family and just getting some time off work was great.
Absolutely, man.
Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight, and hopefully the chat room will be kicking tonight. We should be live on nprmedia.com tonight, and I want to go ahead and give the call-in number right off the bat for everyone listening, 646-716-5564. We did have to cut our show short Christmas Eve. I mean, that's the best to do is everybody had family, friends in town. Trey, you did the same. But I want to welcome everyone listening tonight. Feel free to call in. Trey, it's time now. It's big boy football's coming up now. All of this, you know, appetizer football we've been watching is about to be gone. Are you excited?
Yeah, I mean, this is, the five games we have to talk about in the NFL all have very big implications for seeding, except for number five, at least. Number five is a pretty competitive game, but a lot of seeding implications going on in the NFL. And then, of course, in college football, Tarvin, you really can't complain. This is the week where a lot of the big boys start to play. A lot of the big conferences get going. We get to see some of the matchups we've been really wanting to hear from, since the polls were announced.
Yeah, there's a lot of games we're going to discuss tonight, so we're going to have to move quick, get through the games. So we want everybody to call in and weigh in, but just make sure we're on the game you're going to call in about. And, Trey, we're going to break down the NFL games tonight that you picked for us. The bowl games, we're going to talk some current events and sports. But on another note, did you get to see the video that went viral on YouTube? The Alabama fan bought his dad a national championship ticket. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I didn't see that, yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you kind of expect a visceral reaction from a few moments in life, and that wasn't one of the ones where I expected to see such a interesting reaction, I would say. You know, maybe news that you're going to be a grandpa or, I don't know, something, but, he's starting to cry like a little girl. To me, seemed like a little bit of a strong reaction, Tarvin.
Well, it brings me back to 2 years ago when my national championship connection fell through for the Auburn-Oregon game. I had the plane ticket, had everything bought, but the ticket fell through. But on Christmas Day, my wife surprised me with a national championship ticket. And I have to admit, I did get a little teary-eyed because it meant a lot to me, but I didn't act like a fool like this guy did.
Yeah, you didn't cry and uncontrollably?
He said, "Woo, yeah, baby!" He thought he won $1 million, but he was going to the game. But it was just to show you how important, and again, we've talked about it, how much passion and in college football it shows. I think that would have happened to almost any fan that got to go to their game, but maybe not to that extent. I'm sure there's a lot of people got a national championship ticket for Christmas, but I'm just interested to see how many acted like that.
Well, for it to be on SportsCenter, that shows you how intense of a reaction it was. I mean, it made it all the way into national news, and it went viral, of course. But, a lot of people are very excited to be at that game. It's, very exciting to be at a national championship game, something you've had the opportunity to do. I haven't. My team hasn't played since I was very young, so.
Well, Chris Ricketts, one of our co-hosts, got to go to the Auburn-Oregon game with us, so he got to experience that feeling, and I had some friends go, but it's one of the most surreal feelings in the world. I remember right before kickoff how exciting it was, just the anticipation of what was coming, but seeing that field goal go through, and Auburn winning that national championship, and this first one in my lifetime, it was very special to be at, but it was just an interesting reaction we got on YouTube. I saw that. It's it made me laugh. It was just funny to see a reaction that strong over something. But, okay, whatever, man. But in other news, in the NFL, you and I were talking about this a moment ago. You remember, what's his name, for the Detroit Lions, the ex-quarterback, that left-hander a long time ago?
Scott Mitchell.
What was his name? Yeah, Scott Mitchell. Came out today, I was reading, Lomas Brown was an offensive lineman for Mitchell, and he admitted to missing a block, actually, that actually got him hurt and got him out of the game because during the time they were losing about 2 or 3 touchdowns and he was playing terrible. What do you think about this? Would you admit that even if you did that?
No, I mean, you got to think about, well, all the player safety in the NFL, you know, coming down and start, you know, protecting the players. At the end of the game, you know, this is, we got to remember, this is about players. And they are really responsible for really protecting themselves and protecting their teammates. And when you see something like that, you realize, you know, the NFL can establish all the rules they want to, and, you know, one guy can decide to lay a blindside and, you know, really get somebody hurt, you know, for life. You know, for me, I think it's a really dumb, you know, looking at this thing just through my lens, Tarvin. I mean, this could be, you know, what if Scott Mitchell had gotten a concussion that lasted for a lifetime? I mean, this is a civil suit. I mean, you're talking to someone intentionally allowing someone, you know, to get hit in a way to get hurt. You know, that's, you know, a teammate, Tarvin. I mean, this is a teammate. This has got to be worse than the bounty. I mean, this is a teammate allowing another teammate to get hurt.
Yeah, that is terrible to see something like that. I mean, to hear a player, I mean, what are you trying to do when you're admitting to this? Are you trying to get some attention, maybe write a book, sell your story to some magazines? I don't understand why he would admit this and what brought it on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the impetus was for, you know, Lomas Brown deciding to, you know, drop this. You know, you're probably right. There's probably some sort of book. You know, Lomas Brown probably maybe hurting for cash in his, you know, non-playing days like many ex-players are, especially, you know, folks like linemen who, you know, didn't make a lot of money back in the day like some of the linemen do now. But maybe you're right, Herbert. Maybe that's the intent. Maybe that's what he's going for. But it's just really kind of shocking. And the fact that it really hasn't made the mainstream kind of media yet. I mean, it's kind of still a side story. It's really surprising.
Well, tell me about the legal part of this. Could he come back and sue because he admitted to this? I mean, this is not good.
No, you know, that's the part that would be very interesting. You know, there could be an absolute, you know, cause of action depending on if Scott, you know, like I said, we don't know, you know, where Scott Mitchell is in his life today and if he has any implications or anything. You know, what if that was the career-ending knockout for him? You know, then you could, you know, argue with this admission, you know, that he is do some money from Lomas Brown, but, you know, you can't believe a turnip, Tarvin. And, you know, if Lomas Brown is doing this to write a book and make some money himself, there might not be a whole lot of money to get.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a weird story. But hopefully Chris Ricketts will be able to call in and say hello to everyone tonight. Chris was one of our co-hosts when we started the show, and hopefully he'll get to call in and say hello. But the chat room's needs to start filling up, Trey. I think the holidays, actually, with live listeners, it's tough to get these live listeners in.
Well, you know, everybody's got a lot of things going on, so we always appreciate those of you who are able to make it with us tonight because, you know, a lot of people are traveling home for the holidays after spending Christmas with their families. You know, obviously there's some weather going on across the countries. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with, you know, thunderstorm and tornado struck down in Alabama, so there are families who are hurting right now. And then, of course, from the disasters and the shootings, there are, you know, still families reeling from that. So we always appreciate anyone who joins us.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. So looking at the NBA real quick, I want to touch on the NBA. I don't know if you've noticed, Trey, but the Clippers have won 14 straight games and are number one team in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, Magic Johnson said that he didn't think the Showtime would ever come back in his lifetime, you know, from his days. And he said, hey, it's back, but it's not with the Lakers, it's with the Clippers. You know, that's how good Blake Griffin and that's how good, you know, Chris Paul are right now. is that, you know, Magic Johnson is calling them the new Showtime.
Yeah, and Chris Paul is the key, Trey. Having a point guard that can run it like that, run the system and get people the ball, I mean, that makes it almost unstoppable. And looking at it, the Lakers can afford injuries. They're not a team that can withstand injuries for an entire season, where the Clippers are deep enough where it won't hurt them if one or two players go down as much. So looking at the Clippers, man, 9-3 on the road, very impressive, 5-1 in their division. They're averaging winning by about 10 points a game, but to win 14 games in a row in the NBA is unheard of these days, Trey.
And before the season started, my actually sixth man of the year was Jamal Crawford on the Clippers because, you know, he basically signed to be a part of what he thought was something special. And this is a guy who scored 50 points in a game. You don't have those guys readily available as, you know, real scoring threats coming off your bench. I mean, he's a guy who gets hot. He could score 30 off your bench. And those guys are rare. So, you know, you'll see him and going for 20, 25 a night, you know, and that's huge off your bench when you have a scoring threat like that. So the Clippers are a very, very good team. You're right. They're deep.
Yeah, very deep. And are you buying them as the number one team in the NBA, or are you selling?
Well, I think at this point you have to buy what you see. But there's still some very good, you know, teams out there who play defense in a way that could frustrate the Clippers. The Spurs, even though they've been a little bit shaky recently, Tim Duncan's having an amazing resurgent year. I can't, you know, at his age, I'm just astounded by how well he's playing right now. And if they get those kind of productions from Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, then they're going to be very, very good. So, it's, you know, obviously there's some teams who aren't around. You know, the Mavericks aren't very good this year without Dirk Nowitzki. But, you know, the Clippers right now, they're the team to beat, and the Lakers. But I really think the Lakers and some other teams are really going to make second-half runs.
Yeah, exactly. And the Lakers right now, you know, Steve Nash yesterday, his first game back, they get a big win against the Knicks. So is Nash really going to help these Lakers? Because I'm looking at it, and automatically the Lakers' defense gets worse just by this. But is he good enough to get the Lakers on a roll? They've won 5 in a row, one with him back. So looking at the Lakers, what are you seeing right now with him coming back?
Well, I mean, D'Antoni is a guy who won Steve Nash, or, you know, with them together. Steve Nash won 2 MVP awards. So you have to like Steve Nash and him together. I think they're going to start to gel pretty good. I mean, this is a system that Nash plays well in. You know, I know Nash is older, but, you know, so is Kobe, and Kobe is still very, very good. Nash is a former MVP, and there's no reason to think that he can't put up very good assist numbers and distribute the ball pretty well. In the game on Christmas, I actually got to watch some of it. I saw some, what I would say, not mistakes, Tarvin, mental mistakes from Nash, where the ball could have gone elsewhere and probably been a little bit more productive. I think those things are going to be worked out. There's one time that Kobe got in the ball, and Kobe wanted the ball right back, and Nash ended up driving and didn't perform very well on the drive. It was a block shot, and it was clear that Kobe wanted it back. And so there's going to be some issues for them to work out in the system, but Nash is going to run the system very well. And I think by the second half, if they all stay healthy, especially with Paul Gasol, if they keep him with that pick and roll, they're going to be doing just fine.
Well, let's move over to the East. Miami's number one, followed by New York, surprisingly, number two, and Atlanta, three. Very surprised with number two and three. But let's go down to the Charlotte Bobcats. You know, they started out decent this year, and now they've lost 15 in a row. Well, what is Michael Jordan thinking right now, Trey?
Well, I mean, this is a team that last year, you know, remember us talking about. We're like, what is the real what's the direction of this entire franchise? And it was hard to even figure out. And obviously, you know, they got a good, solid draft, and, you know, they're building around a certain player, and they're saying, hey, this is where our draft strategy was, this is our franchise strategy, and he's been hurt. Davis has been hurt a little bit. But, you know, this is just still a team that's very, very bad, Tarvin. They're just very, very bad. And I think they got off, this, you know, a little bit better than they actually are. So I think Jordan still has a long way to either try to put together whatever his vision is. I'm still a little confused by what they're going to do, or what they're trying to do, I should say.
Yeah, the NBA season, we have a long time to talk about that trade. There's going to be a lot going on in the NBA. Boston holding on to that number 8 seed right now, but again, 27 games into the season, really there's a lot more to go over. We'll do that as soon as football's over. So, Trey, let's the NFL this weekend. So, are you excited about this last week? Do you think anything's going to change? Because I want to go over the playoff scenarios with you, starting with the AFC, before we break down the games, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, and absolutely. I just wanted to clarify for the show. I meant Kemba Walker drafted, not Davis. Davis went to New Orleans. Sorry, I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I didn't want to correct you on air, man. I don't want to do that to you. It makes you look bad.
No, that's fine. I said the wrong name. I meant Kemba Walker. He's actually on my fantasy basketball team, doing quite well. So.
Yeah, I miss fantasy basketball. I haven't played that in a while. But, all right, looking at the NFL, there are some teams this weekend, Trey, that could really benefit from winning or having other teams, you know, win or lose. So start with the Texans right now. They're the number one seed in the AFC. These guys have a chance to, you know, finish first or finish third, really. So looking at them, what needs to happen, they can win they can clinch the number one seed and home field advantage through the AFC playoffs with a win at Indianapolis or both a Broncos loss and Patriots loss. And they would clinch a first-round bye with a Broncos loss or Patriots loss or tie. And they would be the third seed, Trey, with a loss and a Broncos win and a Patriots win. So, Houston, are they going to take the Colts serious this weekend?
I think they will. I think you're going to see Foster come back. He got cleared medically, which is actually quite a big issue. I mean, he had, you know, didn't miss time last week because of a heart issue, and that's pretty big issue when you start talking about cardiac issues. Apparently it wasn't a very big deal. He's going to be back on the field. I think they're going to take this game pretty seriously. One is because the Colts are going to be in the playoffs, and this is a chance for them to kind of make a statement. And two, they really need home field advantage. They can't slip up at all, Tarvin, because Denver will not slip up against the Chiefs.
Exactly. They have to come in, and that game last week, if that's how they play this week, they're beat. Andrew Luck's not going to, even though they clinched the playoff first, Andrew Luck will beat these guys at home. So Houston better wake up. Or you know what the difference is from being the one seed and three, don't you, Trey?
Yeah.
It's a big difference. And looking at the Broncos, they could win, you know, clinch the number one seed and home field advantage through the playoffs with a win versus the Chiefs and if the Texans lose. So just that quick, they could drop to the number two, and they would be the number three seed with a loss and a Patriots win. So looks like Houston, Denver, and the Patriots can move up or down. You know, I don't really – the Ravens, looking at them, Trey, do you think they can go up higher than three? I don't believe they can.
I think they can – no. I think they're as high as they can get is three, yeah.
Okay.
But
so,
I don't think they're going to be three. I mean, I'll be honest. I think four is the best they're going to get.
Yeah, so the Colts, you know, or the Baltimore, four or five, it doesn't matter. That's who plays each other, I believe, in that first round, if I'm not mistaken. But the Bengals are in, so there's really no drama in the AFC of teams trying to get in, correct?
Yeah, all six teams are clinched in the AFC. It's just a matter of seeding. We know Indianapolis is five. We know Cincinnati is six. It's just a matter of that one through four. And, you know, three teams could be number one, as you said, Tarvin. You know, that's pretty incredible that all three of the, you know, all three of the top AFC teams could still have a scenario to be number one and have home field advantage throughout the AFC. So you can guarantee they're all going to be trying pretty hard this weekend.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, the NFC, though, you have to expect the NFC to be a cluster here at the end of the season. I mean, four teams are really in, I believe. I think is Washington in? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think Washington is in the playoffs. The wild card, Seattle and Minnesota. So we still have Chicago Bears, Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants in the hunt. Even though the Giants, you know, it's a long shot, really. A lot has to happen. But if Dallas beats Washington, Dre, what happens?
Well, Dallas gets in automatically as the division winner with a win. Now, if Washington loses, Tarvin, they're not automatically in. They actually would need a Viking and a Bears loss to get in as a sixth seed at that point. So the Redskins would need help if they lose, but they can actually lose to the Cowboys, and they're one of the few teams in the NFC this weekend who can lose and still back their way in, which would be kind of incredible if you consider, you know, RG3, you know, the season he's done. So, you know, you could have both the Cowboys if they win and the Redskins if they back in, but you really can't be hoping for that scenario, or at least thinking it's realistic, because the Bears play the Lions, and you know the Lions haven't been a whole lot successful recently at really defeating a really good team. So I think the Bears are going to go out and take care of business against the Lions. So you can't really expect, if you're a Redskins fan, to lose and get in.
Yeah, so I guess it's perfect time, Trey, for you to come in, and let's start breaking down these NFL games. I'm sure we'll start hitting on some of this as we're going through, but let's go ahead and start with our NFL games.
Yeah, our number five game is the only one that doesn't have playoff implications, but it's two of the hotter teams in the NFL are playing. It's the Panthers, who are 6-9, at the Saints, who are 7-8. The reason I put this game on is, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of games that, you know, on paper were this competitive. I mean, I could have put the Bears and Lions on there and games like that, but this game actually struck me as a little bit more entertaining to watch because both teams are actually pretty hot going into this game. So, Tarvin, I mean, this is Cam Newton. This is the Saints. Are you going to go with your boy Cam Newton?
Man, it's a tough one, but the Saints, like you said, both of these teams are hot. Carolina's winning football games and not turning the ball over, playing okay defense, but New Orleans at home, I think they have payback on their mind, and they would like nothing better than to end this season, this dreadful, miserable nightmare of a season, on a positive note. So I'm going with Drew Brees in this game just because he's at home, and that offense is starting to click on all cylinders. But I will say this. I think New Orleans is going to struggle big time trying to stop Cam Newton. He's going to have a field day as well. But at the end of the day, I think the Saints, you know, edge him out. But Carolina's made a good run here at the end of the season, as well as New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you kind of hit what I was going to say. So I'll just say that I'm taking the Saints. They're at home. Obviously, they play pretty good at home, Tarvin. Carolina has struggled on the road. And, yeah, Carolina's won three in a row. They're playing much better at football now. I think Ron Rivera has saved his job. But I think they're going to lose this game, go to 6-10 for the season. And the Saints will go into the offseason 8-8, having won three in a row. That's where I'll leave that to you, Tarvin.
So any chance the Saints make the playoffs, straight?
Nope, they are completely out.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I was trying to think. I thought there was a scenario where they could get in, but I think it was last week that was sealed shut. All right. Well, we both picked the Saints. So what does Jonathan say in the chat room?
Jonathan, he's taking the Saints as well. I think the Breeze wants to end with the W.
All right, cool. So all of us are going with the home team there. So let's see. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is a game I miss, because I'd like to see Carolina, you know, take over this. So take us on, Trey. Take us on.
Well, the next one is two playoff teams. It's our number four game is the 10-5 Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati 9-6 Bengals. Both of these teams are locked into the AFC playoffs. The Ravens are basically playing for a 3 or 4 seed, and the Bengals are locked into their own number 6 seed. So kind of interesting to see who plays this game harder, because the Bengals really don't have a lot of motivation to play this game, Tarvin.
Yeah, neither, in my opinion, does Baltimore. I just think, man, it's hard to pick these games, Trey. I mean, when neither team really can benefit and just pride's on the line, because these guys are resting their stars. I'm going to go with Cincinnati at home in this game. I think Baltimore, you know, made a huge impact last week showing the nation that, hey, they're back playing Baltimore football. So I don't think they're going to really put the pedal to the metal this week, Trey. They have to rest people. They're an older football team, so they need that extra week if they're going to make this run. So I like Cincinnati home. Andy Dalton getting some good yardage and getting this win, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go the opposite way. You know, with the fact that the Bengals can't improve their playoff positioning, given the fact that the Baltimore Ravens, you know, changed offensive coordinators recently, they're still trying to figure out offenses, and given the fact that they can actually still can make a 3 seed now, whether they actually do, I think is a long shot in my mind, because I think the other 3 teams are going to win. But I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to come out really wanting, and you're right, they're going to rest some players, but I just think that they're going to have a little bit more fire playing this, and I kind of wonder how many of the Bengals are going to be playing in the second half, because they're really not going to be wanting A.J. Green or Dalton to get hurt. So, or even Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So, for that reason, I think that we're going to see the Ravens pull this out close. I think you're probably going to see a low-scoring game because there are going to be players resting. But I got the Ravens on the road.
Yeah, Jonathan in the chat room says Baltimore will want to end on a hot streak, plus Cincinnati struggles with the big boys. So Ravens by 7, he picks. So I'm the only one picking the Bengals. That excites me.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, take it all.
All right, well, our next game is another, you know, playoff implications. You alluded to this game earlier. It's the Texans who are at 12-3 playing for home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs against the Colts who are, locked into their position in the playoffs. They're at home. Obviously, Andrew Luck plays fantastic inside the dome. But do the Colts really play hard in this game given the fact that they can't improve their position, you know, that they are going to be traveling? They already know that. So, Tarvin, I mean, is that enough for the Colts to just kind of punt this game, or do you think they're going to go out and play this game hard just to show something and knock the Texans out of that number one seed?
I don't think they'll show up, really, honestly. I just think they're going to go through, and if they get a win, they get a win. They luck up and get one. But Houston has too much to lose by losing this game. I mean, these guys could go from – number one seed in the entire playoffs to hosting a wild card game next weekend, Trey. That's how big, you know, this week is for them. So they have to win, and for that reason, I have to pick the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think this is one of those. I know, yeah, Chuck Pagliano is coming back, an emotional thing for the Colts. But you know, when you're playing a team who has something to play for, and even though they're on the road, and you really don't. You know, you never know what the coach is going to do as a fan, as us watching this game. You know, what is he going to come into this game saying, and what is his strategy really going to be with his players? I mean, yeah, the Colts are young. Does he want to play them just to get more experience? Does he want to compete to give them the, you know, to give them that edge going into the postseason? You know, I'm just really not sure about the Colts in this regard. So I think the Texans are a little bit better football team, but I think this is going to be a little closer if the Colts all do play. So I'm going to go with the Texans on the road because I think for the reasons that you cite, I think they're probably going to want this game pretty badly.
And Jonathan is with us in the chat room. He agrees with their pick, so that's good. So, but, I mean, there's just too much to lose, Trey, just like we talked about. So take us on to the next one.
Well, the next one's a big game because the 11-4 Packers, one of the more dangerous teams right now in the NFL, they're going into Minnesota to play the Vikings. And for the Vikings, this game is really a must-win because right now the Vikings are sitting at the number 6 seed. Now, they clinch a playoff berth for the win automatically. If they win, they're in. But if they lose, they have to have the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Giants lose. So, for them to back their way into the postseason, it's going to be very difficult with a loss, Tarvin. I mean, having the, like, again, the Bears are going to be heavily favored against the Lions. And, of course, the Cowboys game's a toss-up. But the Giants are playing the Eagles with Michael Vick back, so I don't know how that game is going to go. So this game and the Vikings, can they beat a hot pack?
They can, but, I mean, how many yards does Adrian Peterson need to break the record?
It's not going to be an easy day for him. I think he needs chat room help me out, but I think it's near 200 yards, 208 yards. Yep,
208 yards. So, I mean, if he gets the 208 yards, I think the Vikings move on to the playoffs. But I just think Green Bay is too much on the offensive side of the ball, especially if Minnesota's offense was better, had a passing game. I would pick Minnesota at home in this game because it's a must-win. But when you're one-dimensional, it's just so hard to win week in and week out in the NFL. They won last week with Peterson with like 86 yards, but it won't happen again, Trey. So I like Green Bay in this game to get it done on the road.
Yeah, I mean, this game is big for the Packers. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, the Packers are locked in, they're really not because they're sitting there with San Francisco and trying to determine who's going to host a first round, how to have a first round bye. And that's going to be a big deal. The Packers want that bye. So I think they're gonna come out and play pretty well because they have to win this game to even have a shot at the bye right now. So I'm gonna go with the Pack on the road to sort of not. And I think it is gonna knock the Vikings out of the playoff contention. I don't think Adrian Peterson gets the 208 either.
Well, Trey, Jonathan says in the chat room that Ponder might go off for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Man, I don't know about that, but but I think he's joking. But I want to go to the phone lines real quick, Trey. 262, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, I just wanted to correct you guys. Indianapolis, they could actually get the fourth seed over Baltimore if Baltimore loses and Indianapolis wins. I was curious, so I went to ESPN and checked the standings, and I saw that. So Indianapolis actually does have something to play for against Houston. Plus Cincinnati is 9-6. So,
Quinn, 4-5 doesn't matter really. 4-5, you're playing each other anyway.
Well, to Baltimore and the Colts, it might. Who can get the home field advantage? It might matter. Andrew Luck plays better home, so that might really matter to him.
And Quinn, they can't move into the number 4 seed because even if Baltimore has a lesser record, they will be the host because they win their division. So,
I forgot about that.
They cannot move it to the 4 seed. They are the number 5 seeds.
I forgot about that. I find that rule so stupid, though.
That's all right, Quinn. Yeah. That's all right.
Quinn, you call in here the day after Christmas trying to show us up. What are you thinking, man? So I saw your dad on TV, on ESPN, and on the internet opening his national championship ticket, Quinn.
I would never let my dad do that.
So I heard you said something about your granddad talked to Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, my grandpa told me today that he got a call from Gus just telling them that Auburn was going to be all right and that they were going to get back to being how they were.
Are you serious? You weren't pulling my leg?
No, I'm serious. My grandpa wouldn't lie. I'm being dead serious.
Okay. Well, Quinn, tell us about your – oh, I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Quinn, tell your grandpa to get Miles on our show.
Yeah, I
could try. My grandpa has the inside to that university. My grandpa really donates and stuff to that university, so he probably has the inside to a lot of information.
But Quinn, I have a question. If Auburn played Notre Dame in the national championship, who would you pull for?
I'd pull for Auburn.
Good man. Tell us about your Chicago Bears, man. Are you disappointed they're going to be sitting at home for the playoffs?
That's not for sure. I'm hoping the Packers. I'm hoping the Packers can win, even though it makes me about want to throw up thinking that the Packers have to win in order for the Bears to go into the playoffs. But that needs to happen. And then their prize would be having to play San Francisco the first round.
Well, I mean, Chicago's a good enough team, Trey and Quinn, that if they get in the playoffs, they could get hot. I mean, any team, the Giants have showed you that. The Packers have shown you this. So just getting into the playoffs is the main thing. I don't think home field advantage is as important here in the last few seasons, Trey, as it has been.
Well, I mean, over the last, 5 years, Tarvin, there were more 6 seeds to win the Super Bowl than 1 seed, so...
It's just San Francisco screamed them just a few weeks ago, so I don't know how I'd feel about the Bears having to go to San Francisco.
Yeah, but Quinn, man, I appreciate the call, buddy. Stay on and listen to us or join us in the chat room, whichever you want to do. But Trey, there's a lot going to happen this weekend, and I think it's going to get exciting in the NFC to see what could happen. Maybe in the AFC as well, but you know it's going to be an eventful day. It's not going to go by as quietly as people think.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be something that happens that none of us expect. That's the NFL, you know, that's playoff weekends, the weekend before playoffs. I mean, you know, that's why all these 6 seeds are so important, because of all the 6 seeds that have actually won the Super Bowl recently, I mean, the Giants, last example. So you know, that six seed is very, very powerful. You know, you would think playing that many days in a, you know, or weeks in a row, you know, playing more games than everybody on the road, that, you know, that that would be almost impossible in the NFL. But, you know, these teams have shown it time and time again. If you get in as that six seed, no matter how you do it, you can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I just think what happens is, you know, most of these teams barely get in to that number six seed. They, you know, something happened, they started playing good. But I think they come together as a team once they go on the road, Trey. They get on the road or something, they're unified, they just play together as a team. And I think sometimes when you're at home, you kind of relax. You know, you're at home with the wife, kids, eating dinner at your own house. I just think on the road in the playoffs, it almost benefits you now.
Well, I think part of it, too, is, you know, when you have to fight to get in, you have to really figure out things. You really sort of, you're right, come together. Where a lot of times, and I think this year is going to be different because, you know, other than the Falcons, we went into the last weekend very unsure of almost every seed, you know, at least positionally. So I think it's going to be different this year because even in the AFC, number one's having to fight to be number one even to the last week. So, you know, teams are not resting their starters 3 weeks out, and I think that's where you lose some of that cohesion and you lose some of that game time ability to, you know, in the fourth quarter when it really matters, you've had that, you know, connectivity quarterback to receiver, you know, offensive lineman, you know, producing the hole for the running back, you know, linebacker, you're reading the defense, you know, all those things are something that, you know, you need game time practice, if it will, to make sure that each week and each, you know, you're able to perform at a very high level.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, but I'm just so against resting players, you know, over a quarter or just benching starters altogether, making them miss a whole entire game, and then maybe they have a bye week, and now it's 3 weeks. They're out of rhythm. They start off slow in the playoffs. They get behind, and it's hard to come back. So if I'm an NFL coach, I might give my players one quarter at the end of the game to rest, but I'm not going to get them out of their practice habits or their game habits, man. That's just too much to risk.
Yeah.
All right, well, take us off.
Well, you know, number one game, Carmen, I called it last week, is, you know, the Washington Redskins hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Both of these teams win and they're automatically in. You know, Dallas has to win this game to get in. And, you know, the Washington Redskins would need a lot of help. So, Tarvin, tell me, is this going to be an RG3 playoff year, or will the Cowboys win this division?
Well, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to pick the Cowboys in this game. I'm going to take Tony Romo over RG3. I think Dallas plays better when they're underdogs and when they're on the road. So now they're out of that Cowboy Stadium, man. They're ready to play football. I don't think RG3 is ready for that level of pressure just yet. He made the Pro Bowl, is what I read, surprisingly. But I like Dallas in this game. Tony Romo gets it done.
You know, Tony Romo, I think it's 1-4 all-time in games that actually clinch in Week 17. Normally, you know, you can look at those stats and say, well, you know, what do they really mean? But for Tony Romo, it actually seems to matter. He seems to not play very well when it comes to these clinching games, these postseason games. He's been playing so well down the stretch, and I know they just lost last week, but Tony Romo was not the reason. You're right. I think Tony Romo was hot. I think this year is different for the Cowboys. I think they do win this game and get into the playoffs.
Well, I want to welcome Dustin Porterfield, Jonathan Miklos, and Michael Lusader in the chat room. Thanks for coming in, guys, and joining us tonight. But, Trey, everybody's talking bad about the Dallas Cowboys right now. They lost to the Saints. They were hot before that. But I just think being on the road against Washington, I'm not sold on Washington's offense. I'm not sold on Dallas's defense. So it really depends on, can Dallas get pressure on RG3 and keep him in the pocket? If they keep him in the pocket, Dallas will be able to make some picks, maybe, you know, cover these receivers that they have, just being able to one-on-one, man-to-man. So can they get pressure? I like Dallas' defensive line in this situation, Trey. That's why I'm going to pick the upset on the road, and Dallas is in the playoffs.
All right. I think we're in agreement there.
Well, let's see. Michael at the chat room says, you know, he looks like he's picking the Skins. Jonathan's picking the Skins. And I know Dustin, he's a big Cowboys fan. I think he'll pick the Cowboys. So let's see what happens. So looking at it, Trey, anything else that almost made your list, your top five list? I know there's not many good games.
The Bears, Lions, and then you know, obviously the Giants, Eagles, just because both those teams have to win. I'll tell you, I have the Bears, and I actually have the Eagles beating the Giants this week.
Wow. So the Giants have nothing, you know, nothing to gain. They're out of the playoffs, but their coach, Coughlin, came out this week and wanted them to, I think the Giants do have a small chance to get in the playoffs, but it's very slim. But he wants them to come back to play in, you know, Giants football again. What has happened to the Giants, Trey? These guys have fallen hard.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, so I won't belabor everything we talked about. But, yeah, they're completely out of sync, which is why I think the Eagles win this game, because both Andy Reid and Michael Vick need to go out hard and go out strong. And with Andy Reid, you know, this is his chance to not only sort of audition for a new team, I think he's going to be fired, but also Michael Vick. It's an important game for him to basically put his stamp on the fact that he can still play in the NFL. The Giants need a Vikings loss, a Bears loss, and a Cowboys loss to get in, which I think is a long shot. So, you know, for me, I think the Eagles win this game because I think Michael Vick actually has a pretty good game and actually puts a stamp on him saying, hey, I can still play in the NFL and give me a shot at another team.
Well, I wanted to talk real quick, just stayed in the NFL, Tim Tebow for the Jets. It came out earlier this week, Trey, that he refused to go into a Wildcat package this weekend after McElroy passed him up to be the starter once Sanchez was moved to third string. And then he comes out today and says he never said no to the Wildcat. What do you think? Is Tebow telling the truth? Did he say no or did he not?
I mean, what's led to me believe that Tebow would lie about something like that? I mean, I don't know. So, you know, if he was going to come out and make a statement, I'm going to believe him until I see that, you know, that's not the case. I think if, you know, I would probably not believe Rex Ryan at anybody out of this whole scenario.
Yeah, I don't think Tim Tebow would do that. I think if they wanted him to play, he would. But, I mean, this goes back to what I've said ever since this show started. Tim Tebow is not an NFL quarterback. And as soon as he realizes that, I mean, the owners, the coaches are starting to catch on to this. As soon as he realizes he's not a quarterback, man, then I think he'll be more successful of a player. He's not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I don't. Yeah, I never really thought he was. I mean, he's a winner, so we'll see. I think that we're going to see him in Jacksonville next year, so I think he's going to get another chance. But I just don't think that he's going to be very successful with them. I mean, the fact is that he has been a winner, but, you know, we really haven't seen him a team that has to rely on him as a quarterback to really be that champion. So I think you're going to see him in Jacksonville playing quarterback next year, and we're going to see I don't think it's going to be a very good experiment.
Exactly. So we're going to move off to the NFL finally, and we're going to get to our college football, Trey. I'm so glad to see the good games, you know, in the short term now. I know it's not too long. We'll be able to see some good football games. So do you want to get us started with our bowl picks?
Yeah, absolutely. Our first game is being played right now. You and I posted our game predictions before the game. We're both losing that right now. That's the Little Caesars Bowl tonight. Western Kentucky 7-5 against the Central Michigan 6-6. Tarvin, just to give you an update, it's 17-14. Western Kentucky has the ball and is trailing by 3 in the third quarter.
Yeah, they were down, I think, a couple of touchdowns early. So for them to pull it to 3, I like that. So hopefully Western Kentucky can make us look good, Trey, and get this W. But as far as just picking it, there's really no interest to me in this game whatsoever.
No, I agree. I'll move us on. Our next game's the 27th of December, which is tomorrow. We have a couple games. The Military Bowl, which is number 24, San Jose State, 10-2, versus Bowling Green, 8-4, Tarvin.
Wow, I just cannot wait to see this game, Trey. There's so much on the line. Hey, I'm going to go with the ranked team in this game, San Jose State, 5-1 in the WAC, like you said, 10-2 overall. I just think they have too much offense and defense compared to what they're playing. So I'm going to take them in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not only are they ranked, this is a team that lost to Stanford by 3. They beat San Diego State, who played pretty hot end of the year. They could actually put up at Utah State. They put up 27 points, which would tell you something. We talked about Utah State's defense. They beat BYU. I mean, so I think San Jose State's a little bit more of a complete team. I got San Jose State in this game.
Yeah, even though San Jose State's given up 21 points and Bowling Green 15, it's getting different competition. So you're right. I like San Jose State, so take it off.
All right, our next game is also on the 27th. It's the Belk Bowl, Tarvin. Cincinnati is 9-3 versus Duke. The Dukies are bowling at 6-6.
Well, I mean, you got to look at this game, Trey, and you have to see Cincinnati just lost their coach. So these guys are playing for pride at Cincinnati, and they're also some of the underclassmen are playing for playing time next year, trying to impress Tommy Tuberville, the new coach. But Duke, I think they're happy to be here. So, and I know they want to win it. I don't think Duke would make it this far under Cutcliffe and not try once they get to a bowl. But I just think Cincinnati's too much of a good team. They have too many athletes on that team. I mean, on offense and defense is small, but they're very fast. So I look for Cincinnati to run away with this game, Trey. I don't think Duke's going to really be in it for long.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about this game is the coaching move. I think if it wasn't for that, I mean, Cincinnati would be a clear favorite. This is an important game for the ACC because, I mean, Cincinnati, you know, you're talking about a Big East team. I know Duke is a terrible ACC team, but this is where the ACC needs to pick up wins. I don't think they're going to, Tarvin, though. I'm going Cincinnati. I think even without their coach, they're talented, and I just don't think Duke is going to get that win this year.
Yeah, Michael in the chat room is picking the Duke Blue Devils, so I don't know about that one, man. That's a tough one to pick. But I have to go with Cincinnati in this game. And just for that reason, Trey, the ACC, I'm not very impressed this season with them.
Well, I mean, name a big out-of-conference win they have, Tarvin. I mean, you just can't. So it's hard. It's tough to pick them in these out-of-conference bowl games because they just haven't showed any of us that they can win any of these games.
Exactly. So take us on to the – hopefully we'll get to some barn burners now. I'm ready.
Well, this is a game that you're interested in, Tarvin. This is the Holiday Bowl, which is typically actually a very usually a very entertaining game. The Holiday Bowl generally is. Baylor is pretty hot at 7-5. They have a really talented quarterback who has come out and said that he's going to win the Heisman while he's at Baylor against number 17 UCLA at 9-4.
Well, man, I've picked Baylor, I think, in my ESPN, and I've been leaning towards Baylor until just maybe after I started researching it, looking through it, man. I'm looking at UCLA, and I think being the more physical team and having a better defense, Baylor's defense is terrible. I remember that game so well, Trey, against West Virginia, this team. They couldn't stop anybody. So looking at this, I think UCLA gets the win, and I'm changing my pick from what I've been saying the last couple of weeks. But I just think UCLA can run the football on Baylor, and I think it's going to give them a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, and I was kind of the other way, Tarvin. I've been on the UCLA on this pick, and I was looking at Baylor, and I kind of started thinking that Baylor might win this game. I mean, they're hot. They have actually won, you know, where UCLA is coming off two straight losses. I mean, Baylor has beaten Kansas State, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State, three bowl teams straight. That's kind of where you want. When you're looking at these games, and this is the Big 12, Pac-12, this is an important game when it comes down to, like I said, Tarvin, who's going to come out number two overall when it comes to conferences. I'm going to keep UCLA, but UCLA is pretty bad on defense too. I mean, 87th and 53rd in passing and rushing defense, playing against the quarterback who's number three in the nation. That doesn't look good to me, Tarvin, but you know, I'm going to take UCLA. I agree they're a little bit more physical. They can rush the football. I think that's where they hold off in this game. But I actually am a little intrigued to what happens in this game. But this could be a pretty interesting sport. I'm going to take UCLA in a high-scoring tight affair.
Wow. Good one. But we have to correct you on your statement about the Heisman. Seastrunk is the running back. He transferred from Oregon. He said he was going to win a Heisman. But I'm still interested to see how that works out with the NCAA investigating him. But it's kind of bold, Trey. Some guy saying he's going to win the Heisman Trophy and really hasn't proven anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, sorry about that one. I, messed that one up. But, yeah, bold coming out and saying you're winning the Heisman. I mean, it's pretty hard to win it one at Baylor unless you just put up a phenomenal year. So we'll see, Tarvin. We will see.
All right, what does the chat room say? Let me peek over and look. Looks like Jonathan's picking Baylor. Michael's picking UCLA. So we're splitting the chat room right now. So move us on, Trey.
The Independence Bowl on the 28th of December is one of three bowl games we have on the 28th, Tarvin. Ohio is 8-4, and if you remember, Ohio is the team that beat Penn State earlier in the year, which actually looks like a pretty good victory now that we saw Penn State finish strong. And they're playing Louisiana Monroe, and I think you remember who Louisiana Monroe is, right, Tarvin?
Oh, yeah. Louisiana Monroe beat Arkansas and took Auburn to overtime, which is not saying too much. But, yeah, Louisiana Monroe's got a good football team.
Yeah, and they almost they played three straight quality opponents. I mean, two SEC teams to start the year. And then they played Baylor, and they actually lost that game by 5. And they've been pretty good ever since. And then they have a couple losses to Arkansas State and Louisiana Lafayette. But, you know, Tarvin, those losses, if you look at those teams now, the Sun Belt actually has produced probably better than a lot of these conferences. When you talk about lower-level conferences like the Mountain West and like the Conference USA. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Tarvin, I'm going with Louisiana Monroe in this game. Even though Ohio is a pretty good football team, and this could be a good game, I just think Ohio losing three straight to end the year, wrong note, and I think Louisiana Monroe takes it.
Yeah, I think Louisiana Monroe was beat up as well from some of those tough games they played, Trey. The offensive line, the quarterback banged up a little bit. Now they're getting healthy. And like you said, the Sun Belt is on the up and up. Stolich has Ohio playing good football, though. They're killing up a little too many points, just like La Monroe is. But I have to go with Colton Browning and the Louisiana Monroe team, the Warhawks. I mean, he's just too much a quarterback. I just don't think Ohio can really shut him down enough. I really like their offense in this game, you know, averaging about 36 points a game.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. So if you're looking at this game, what are you giving the – I mean, Ohio's chance to win. What do they have to do in this game?
Well, I think that Ohio has to kind of run the football and keep the ball out of the hands of the offense of La Monroe, because that's going to be key. Ohio's actually kind of a physical football team to be in the MAC, though, Tarvin. So we'll have to see. I mean, this game actually is going to be a little bit physical for two teams that you wouldn't expect it to be.
Yeah, Michael in the chat room is picking ULM, and Jonathan's picking ULM as well. Yeah, I don't see Dustin pick that. So take us on to the next one, Chief.
All right. Well, the next one's the Russell Athletic Bowl. It's Rutgers, who is 9-3, versus Virginia Tech at 6-6. On paper, Carmen, this looks like a Rutgers route. Is that going to play out?
Well, I don't know about a route. I think Virginia Tech's favoring this game, Trey, believe it or not. What do you think it'll be a route?
Well, I mean, you know, Rutgers 9-3. They've played very quality opponents this year. You know, they beat Arkansas. You know, Virginia Tech hasn't beat anybody. And again, this is the ACC, who has yet to beat anyone really out of conference. You know, and you look at this, and I understand the point spread. You know, you got to give Rutgers 2 on this. This is one of those games that shocks me a little bit as the point spread, because I think on paper, when you look at these teams, Rutgers looks to be favored.
Well, I think you're right in everything you said, and I think the line is the way it is because I think the public, you know, a lot of people come and bet football games even though they haven't watched it all season when it comes to bowl time, Trey, and looking at the name, if you're not really used to football and you don't know much about Rutgers this year or Virginia Tech this season, you'd pick Virginia Tech in a game just because of the name alone. But I think Rutgers is a better football team than Virginia Tech. Logan Thomas, his stock has went down this year in the NFL scout size, but this Virginia Tech team is not very good, Trey. I mean, they're only averaging 26 points a game, but they're giving up 23.9, and you're exactly right. They're in the ACC, so even though Rutgers plays in the Big East, I still have to give Rutgers a slight edge in this game.
So are you going to go with Rutgers, Tarvin?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this game is actually a little bit tough. I mean, look at Rutgers. They lost 2 straight to Pitt and Louisville. But Pitt played pretty tough down the stretch. I mean, I don't know if that 6-27 loss is a good loss. I mean, given Pitt's really not that great. But Virginia Tech's played a little bit better football since that close Florida State game. I mean, they maybe to be a pretty terrible Boston College team than beat, Virginia by three, which doesn't say a whole lot. It's hard to go with the ACC. I know that they're favored, but I agree with you. I think Rutgers wins this football game, but this is a game, again, the ACC has to win to have any sort of respectability in the bowl season. But it's hard to pick them right now, Tarvin. They have given me no reason to think they're going to do well.
Yeah, you're right. And I want to give the call-in number real quick. Again, 646-716-5564. We have a lot of new listeners on NTR Media listening live. So give us a call in. We'd love to hear from you, Trey. Take us to the next one, sir.
Well, I know Jason Minson isn't around today, and it's a shame that he can't call in for this one. But the Meineke Car Care Bowl, Texas, which is one of those stupid bowl names that I hate. The Minnesota is 6-6, playing Texas Tech at 7-5. Does Jason Minson's Golden Gophers, are they going to win this game?
No, they're going to get blown out. And Jason, you're a buddy of mine now. I have a lot of respect for you, but the Texas Tech's going to lay the hammer to Minnesota. I just don't think Minnesota can keep up pace, Trey, with this guy. So, I mean, Texas Tech, big physical receivers, good offense. The defense is not great, but, I mean, it's good enough to stop Minnesota, and that's the key. If Texas Tech doesn't have to have a great defense to really stop a Minnesota team averaging 21 points a game in the Big Ten. So, looking at it, 2-3 on the road Minnesota was, Texas Tech 3-2. I kind of like to look at that in bowl games. So I like Texas Tech big in this game. Too much offense, Trey. Too much.
Yeah, and I think, what we're obviously with Tommy Tuberville leaving, how much does that impact Texas Tech? I don't think a whole lot. I think they're going to be just fine for this game. I mean, Minnesota, most of their wins were against pretty low-quality teams. They were 2-6 in the Big Ten. That's not good. The Big Ten was terrible this year. So I think Texas Tech, you're right, they're going to win this game. And I think it's probably going to be less interesting for Jason to watch in the second half.
Yeah, I think the offense will be better without Tommy Tuberville on the sideline, honestly. I think they opened it up. I think they're going to try to impress their new coach, Trey, from Texas A&M, Kingsbury. So these guys are going to open it up, open the playbook up. And what better team to do it than against a Big Ten school?
Yeah, and, again, this is, the Big Ten's giving us no reason to pick them out of conference, so I just have no reason to pick them.
All right, and I know I'm probably going to get some hate mail for that statement I just made, but oh well. Take us on, Trey.
Well, on the 29th of December, we got more bowls, Tarvin. It's, the first is the Armed Forces Bowl. Of course, it has a member of the Armed Forces Service Academies, the Air Force 6-6, going against Rice 6-6.
Okay, that's a tough one. And what's the name of this bowl again?
The Armed Forces Bowl.
Okay, I'm sorry, I must have cut out on you. But look, the Armed Forces Bowl, both teams are 6-6, Trey. I'm going to have to pick Air Force in this game just because of the name of the bowl here. You can't go against Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl, Trey.
Yeah, Air Force is struggling this year. The Service Academy is generally will have one team is pretty good who can go out and win a game. I'm going to pick Air Force just out of tradition and out of the fact that, but I think Rice may win this game. But this is a toss-up. Both these teams are pretty weak. I'm going to go with Air Force. Rice is more wide open. It's going to give Air Force nightmares. We'll have to see if Air Force can keep up with them, but I'm going to pick Air Force just for out of sheer love of the game, Tarvin.
Yeah, but keep in mind, on a four-game winning streak by Rice, and this is what I look at the end of the season, averaging 40.5 points a game and 432 yards of offense. So does the end of this season, Trey, cool off Rice? I think Air Force is more disciplined than Rice, and I really think they get it done. So are you looking in the chat room to see if anybody else is going against us?
Yeah, it looks like definitely some Rice loving going on in the chat room. Michael says that Rice is a wide open offense, says that, I think Rice is going to win. Jonathan Miklos has given us some love for Air Force. He's expecting a shootout. So we got a little bit of people.
Okay. Well, these games, do you remember, Trey, not off subject here, Have you ever seen a worse bowl season than what's going on now?
There are some pretty weak games. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This year is a little bit disappointing when it comes to some of these matchups, for sure.
I read something where it says Florida is going to lose $2 million by going to this playing this game, the BCS game. Did you read that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible when you go to a bowl game and you lose money, which a lot of these schools do, Trace, and that's the problem. So but we've already talked about this a lot, and I won't belabor it, man, but I think these bowl games are getting watered down.
Yeah. Which I'll lead us on to our next one, Tarvin. Speaking of watered-down bowls, I'll give you the new era pinstripe bowl, which is West Virginia at 7-5, who has just been awful at the end of the year, versus Syracuse at 7-5.
Wow. I can't go with Syracuse. I think they're losing players off suspension left and right. I think Geno is going to actually try to improve his stock, actually, and he has this season. He's played well at times, so I think he's trying to make a statement. And I remember last year with Holgorsen, the way he had West Virginia beating Clemson, had them ready in this bowl game, kind of makes me look at West Virginia and think he'll have a plan of attack to beat this Syracuse team. Again, Big East.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Syracuse, Tarvin. I mean, they go and scored 10 against Minnesota. That's not good. I mean, you know, this is a team that struggled to score points. I know they scored 45 against Louisville. They played better near the end of the year. They beat Missouri on the road. That's impressive, Tarvin. I mean, it's an SEC team. They beat Missouri. They won 3 in a row. But, you know, I just think West Virginia, I think Geno Smith, you're right, it's going to come out very motivated for this game. I think Geno Smith wins this game and really goes after that number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, but so you think Geno's going to be the number one overall player taken?
Well, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying that he has a shot at it, and I think he really is going to play trying to earn his stock up to the pick because, I mean, depending on, obviously, if the Kansas City Chiefs lose this game this week, they could be, and they obviously need a quarterback, Tarvin, and they're going to be right up there.
Well, I'll tell you what's also going to help his stock, Trey, is Cam Newton and RG3, really. You know, coming out the same type of quarterbacks that can run and throw, and also the success of these rookie quarterbacks, Russell Wilson in general. So, I mean, I think that helps it. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the versatile quarterback who's really showing the NFL a new game. I think Jonathan and Sharon says Barkley's better than Geno. I disagree. I mean, These quarterbacks that have come out of USC haven't really, you know, other than Carson Palmer, has had a pretty decent career. I mean, you know, Sanchez is showing that he's not really an NFL winner. Obviously, Matt Leinart came out and didn't do very well. So I'm just not convinced that, you know, Matt Barkley on paper is going to be very good in the NFL.
Well, Barkley, I mean, his stock is one that's dropped. I mean, you know, they were talking about him at easy before the season started, Trey, a Heisman winner, winning the national championship, and being the first overall pick. How far do you think Matt Barkley has dropped?
Well, I think he'll be a top 10 pick. I mean, we'll have to see. Obviously, he's injured. We're not sure if he's going to play in the bowl game. We're going to have to really see how he does when it comes down to the combine and that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a guy who's going to have to earn a lot of stock because he certainly is in a position to either gain or lose ground from where he is.
Yeah, and if you're looking at it, Trey, you can't really put much faith in these Southern Cal quarterbacks because if you look back at them, who's doing anything right now? Look at Sanchez, look at Matt Leinart, and Carson Palmer's terrible in my opinion. So really, how much are you going to put a lot of faith in him and waste a high pick on him? It's going to be interesting to see how much love they give Matt Barkley, but take us on, Trey.
Well, our next game is, I think it's probably going to be a blowout, that's my opinion, but the Fight Hunger Bowl, Navy is 8-4 going against Arizona State at 7-5, Carmen.
I have to like Arizona State in this game, Trey. I know they're a 14.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 56. I think that's the key. I think Arizona State's offense is way too much for Navy's defense. They'll wear out quick. And I think Arizona State can actually slow down Navy's offense since they're one-dimensional and have time to prepare for that kind of, you know, option offense that they run. So I like Arizona State, Trey.
Yeah, I think Arizona State wins big in this game.
When you say big, are you saying covering the spread, 14.5, or are you saying bigger?
Yeah, they cover the spread.
All right. Well, Jonathan's laughing at us right now. All right, take us home.
All right. We'll get to some entertainment, Jonathan, I promise. This next game is actually was on my list of good games, starting the Alamo Bowl, number 23, and it's the first ranking opponent, ranked opponents playing each other. Number 23, Texas, 8-4, versus number 13, Oregon State, at 9-3. A lot of reasons for both these teams to play hard in this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is really for pride for Texas. This could really put a dagger in Texas if they lose this. And then Dustin in the chat room is a big Texas fan. If you want to call in, Dustin, go ahead and talk this game with us if you'd like to. But, I mean, I really think Texas is going to lose this game, Trey, and it's just because of watching them this season. I just don't see them playing as hard as I think they should. So Oregon State right now looks like the better coach team. So I'm going to lean with Oregon State in this one, Trey.
Yeah, you know what really, I guess, what hurts Texas and why I think they're going to lose this game is they played their best ball earlier in the season. And this is a team that put 66 points up at Mississippi. And if you recall, Mississippi played pretty well against some pretty good SEC teams this year. They gave Alabama fits. They got LSU tough for a while. So they were playing very high at a high level early in the season. They seemed to have slipped in October when the calendar turned. They really didn't recover. Losing their last two to TCU and Kansas State, obviously, I know Kansas State's a very good football team. That TCU win was a game they should have won. You're right. I like Mike Riley. I like what Oregon State's done this year. They've been very tough. They've really found a way to win a lot of games. I know that the last game against Nicholls State, it's hard to say what they didn't really show up against Oregon at 24, only scored 24 points and gave up 48. But that's a long time ago, Tarvin. I think Oregon State's a little bit better coach this year. I think they have the ear of their coach, and I think that Oregon State wins this football game.
And also, Trey, does Texas really want to be here in this game? I mean, are they going to get fired up for a chance to play Oregon State? I think not. I think Oregon State's going to get fired up playing a team with their own TV contract. And in the Big 12, I think they have a lot more to play for than Texas does mentally, too.
Well, this is a home game pretty much for Texas. I mean, they're going to have a lot. I think they're going to have a lot of fans here. Are they fired up, Tarvin? I think they're going to be, and this is an important game for Texas when it comes to momentum for next year and recruiting. So, which is always a reason to play. I mean, obviously you can't get to a 10-win season, which is what you want if you're, any school, you want to get double-digit wins. I think that's why Oregon State's play so hard is because, 10-win season is a very good season for any school, but for Oregon State, it's a big deal. So I think that, Texas will come ready to play, Tarvin, because they have a quarterback who's going to really want to show out to play to be a starter next year.
I agree.
So our last game for the 29th is the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. TCU, who we've talked about, 7-5, are playing the Michigan State Spartans at 6-6.
Before we go, I just want to look at the chat room real quick and see who they're picking. I apologize for that. I'm not really seeing anything right now, so let's move on. Who's this game? TCU and Michigan State.
Yeah, TCU, Michigan State.
Well, TCU, Trey, is a 2.5-point favorite. Are you surprised?
No, I mean, I think they should be the favorite, but I'm a little surprised. TCU has been kind of erratic this year. They're up and down. I know they had their starting quarterback get kicked off the team. That's really been sort of detrimental to their offense. But, Michigan State, I'm a little surprised that the spread is as low as it is. I mean, Michigan State's a team who really, that win at Boise, obviously our win at home against Boise earlier in the year looks good now. Boise's a pretty good football team. They turned out to be pretty good this year. But Michigan State hasn't showed us anything the rest of the year to say they can basically win a big game. I mean, I know they won at Wisconsin, but Wisconsin lost 5 games this year. And they lost to Nebraska, lost to Northwestern. They beat Minnesota to finish the year. But, Tarvin, what makes you think Michigan State can win this game?
I don't really think they can. And if you like offense in this game, please don't watch because it's going to make you sick trying to see these two. I think both defenses dominate each other in ways. The over-under in this game is 40, Trey, 40.5. That's very, very low for a bowl game. Most are in the high 50s, 60s, 70s, just depends on which bowl it is. But I just don't think Michigan State has enough offense to beat Gary Patterson, even with Paschal, whatever his name, for TCU, the quarterback that's out. I just think TCU has too much, especially on the coaching side.
Yeah, man, you know, again, safe pick to pick away. If you're going to pick, you know, if you're tossing up in these bowls, you know, I go with the Big 12 over the Big 10 or the ACC. So, you know, this is a closer game. I think Michigan State has a chance. But, you know, right now I'm looking at TCU. They look a better football team than to me, Tarvin. I've watched Michigan State play a lot of this year, and I just don't think they're going to win this game. So TCU, and I'd say relatively close, Tarvin, but I think they cover.
All right. Well, Jonathan in the chat room says TCU. Michael in the chat room says Party. So we'll see.
All right, Tarvin. We're getting towards New Year's Day. So December 31st, the Music City Bowl, which is routinely a pretty decent bowl as well. NC State at 7-5 are facing the Vanderbilt. This team has been actually a lot better than I thought they were going to be. 8-4 apart, and NC State and the ACC have any shot at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, and I don't want to go too far ahead because we are doing the show next Sunday night on the 30th, so I don't want to get too far ahead of the games once we get to a certain point tonight. But, yeah, I look at this game, Trey, and I see SEC. You know, I see Vanderbilt. You know, they've played a lot better this year. Actually, an 8-win team, believe it or not. 7.5-point favorite over NC State. And, again, we start talking ACC, Trey. So can the ACC beat an SEC team? I don't think so, man. I think Vanderbilt's well-coached this year. They're playing with a lot of cohesiveness. And NC State, remember, got blown out by Tennessee, but they did beat your Florida State Seminoles. I just don't think they can beat Vanderbilt, Trey.
Well, no, you got to remember that they lost their coach as well. And, so there's a lot of coaching turmoil there. You know, when you have a team that isn't very good and they lose their coach, that generally doesn't look well for bowls if you follow that kind of thing. Vanderbilt's team on the rise, their coach has really been recruiting well. If you look at some of the recruiting moves Vanderbilt's done, they've actually pulled some guys away from some other big schools that you'd be kind of surprised that they're pulling. Vanderbilt, you know, plays pretty well at the end of the season, Tarvin. They won, you know, I know these aren't, you know, their best opponents, but they beat Auburn, UMass, Kentucky. They beat Ole Miss, they beat Tennessee, and they beat Wake Forest all to end the season. So this is a hotter team, so I got Vanderbilt in this game.
Yeah, Jonathan in the chat room is picking NC State. He said he's not been impressed with Vanderbilt's wins, you know, and he's right. I mean, they haven't really beaten anybody significant, Trey. So that's a real good point Jonathan brought up in the chat room. The only reason I'm picking Vanderbilt is because it's SEC versus ACC, and I have to go with the SEC in that one based on what I've seen so far.
And it's a home team, and I know Tarvin, that we'll obviously talk more about some of these games going into Sunday, but got to get the predictions out there at least, Tarvin, because all these games happen before our next Wednesday show.
Okay.
Sunday show. Yep. Sunday's usually, and I don't know if you want to change it up, Tarvin. I don't know if we're going to do our predictions on Sunday. It would be different for us, but let me know what you want to do, but I'll move us on to our next one, Tarvin.
Okay, just keep it rolling right now. We'll just keep going.
All right. Our next one is obviously still on the same day. It's the Tarvin, this one's the Sun Bowl, and I know you're excited to talk about USC at 7-5 versus a 6-7 Georgia Tech team.
Wow, this is a game that, Trey, I wonder if they're doing tackling drills right now, trying to learn how to tackle, because neither one of these teams can stop anybody, and it's an interesting matchup. I don't think Southern Cal is going to be able to stop this Georgia Tech team. I just don't think they can tackle well enough, and they're deep enough. And I think USC will be able to throw all day on Georgia Tech, Trey. So this is a very interesting matchup. I think Southern Cal wins the game just because Georgia Tech's that bad, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game's very close.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Barkley, he hasn't been announced if he's playing or not. That's obviously a key. But I just, you know, I know Georgia Tech played Florida State tough. They got blown out by Georgia. I just don't think they have a shot at this game, Tarvin. I think USC wins this game.
Yeah, I do too. And this is a bad bowl. I mean, really, do you think Southern Cal, most of their players, you know, are 5-star, 4-star athletes. Do you think they're really going to go out there and give a lot of effort, risking injury against the ACC Georgia Tech team? I don't really think so. So this could be a very ugly, sloppy game. But I'm going to have to pick Southern Cal just because of their weapons at wide receiver and quarterback.
Yeah. And that, you know, goes to the Liberty Bowl, Tarvin. Iowa State at 6-6 versus a 10-3 Tulsa team.
Wow. See, that's a bad matchup reward standpoint. Iowa State, Trey, 6-16, favored 1 point over Tulsa. I'm going to go with Tulsa in this game just because I just think they want it more. They want to play harder. Their offense is better. I just think Iowa State, you know, is just a – and that's what they are, 6-16, which I think Tulsa almost beat Arkansas when Arkansas was better this season. So I like Tulsa, Trey. I'm just going to go against the grain here. I'm going to pick Tulsa.
Yeah, and this is actually kind of a weird matchup. These teams actually have faced each other already this year. You kind of think that would be impossible. But, you know, the very first game of the year, they played each other, and Iowa State won 38-23. I think this is going to be a very similar score, Carvin. I got Iowa State beating Tulsa again.
Yeah, Jonathan's picking Tulsa to win. So I like that pick. And the rematch game, I always like to go with the second or the team that lost the first one. So I'm going to go with my pick. So take us on to the next one, sir.
All right. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point about the rematch. It's always hard to win the rematch. But this is obviously, I think, the best game we've talked about, Tarvin. Hopefully, you know, people want to call in and talk about this one. I know Corey Bird's interested in this one. The Chick-fil-A Bowl, again, two ranked teams, number 8 LSU, 10-2, versus number 14 Clemson, 10-2.
Oh. And again, the ACC, we're just beating them up right now with the way we're picking. But LSU, I think they're without their punter. You know, he's suspended for failing a drug test. Does LSU want to be here, Trey? That's the question I'm going to ask you.
You know, I mean, obviously it's a disappointing season because they had aspirations of being in the national championship game when the season started. But the Chick-fil-A Bowl always is a pretty – you know, people want to play in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, I guess I'll put it that way. It's not a very far for LSU to have to go to Atlanta to play this game, you know, not for Clemson either. But I think both schools are going to want to travel for this game. You're playing ranked opponents, so it's good. This is another important game when it comes down to recruiting. You know, you want to win these bowl games and go out hard. I think Les Miles is going to have his guys ready. I've had a little bit of issues with Les Miles in bowl games, though, Tarvin. I guess convince me that Les Miles is a good bowl coach.
Oh. Well, I can't really, you know, really convince you, especially after watching what I saw last year. I'm not a big LSU fan or a Les Miles fan, so I'm just wondering about you picking this game. Are you going to go with me and pick LSU just because it's the ACC?
Well, it's not just because of that, because I think in this game I actually was leaning towards Clemson, but Dabo Sweeney is a terrible bowl coach really as well. I mean, look at the egg they laid last year when they had a national spotlight, Tarvin, and that bothers me. You know, Clemson went out and just got trashed last year in the bowl game, and that has to bother you because they had their shot. They were in the BCS, Tarvin, and they got blown out. They just didn't show up. And so this is another big game. I mean, I know the Chick-fil-A game is on the 31st, but this is actually a pretty good game. I mean, it always has, you know, usually a top 10 team playing a top 15 team or so recently. So LSU, I think, is a better prepared team. They're much more physical. I think the players on the Clemson have much better talent on offense. I got to give them a shot, but I just worry that Dabo Sweeney, you know, can't prepare a football team for the bowls after watching them get thrashed last year. So, you know, I'm going to go with the SEC when I'm a little bit, you know, unsure because at least with LSU, we know they're a pretty good football team. They play really strong defense. So for that reason, I'm going LSU.
That's a great point. I think the LSU defense will be the part of this game, Trey, that you can bank on being there. Dabo Sweeney, it really concerns me with that thrashing they took against West Virginia last season. Really, how good of a coach is he? And honestly, I just don't think he's that good of a coach. So we're both on the same page. So LSU's going to take this one.
Yeah, and, you know, I know Brad Wing is out in the game. You mentioned that. But, you know, who cares? He's a punter. They may not have to punt that much. You know?
Exactly. But he is a game changer, though. I mean, he's a good punter. He's that good of a punter where he can be punting at his own 10, and all of a sudden you're taking the ball at your own 10. That's what a difference maker he is. So it could end up being a problem, Trey. That's something you need to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I that's a good point. We'll see. I mean, we're going to talk about this game more on Sunday, I know, Tarvin, because it's a Monday game. But this is our Tuesday game, Tarvin. We'll go ahead and pick them. We'll talk a lot about these games, at least some of them on Sunday. Tarvin, the Gator Bowl, this is the, I think a lot of folks have this notched as the SEC possibly losing a game. 8-4 Mississippi State versus number 20 Northwestern.
Yeah, this is where the SEC loses the game. I'm going to pick Northwestern in this game because I don't really think Mississippi State wants to be here. And I just don't think, you know, Dan Mullen really cares about this game as much. But I do think it means a lot to Northwestern and that coaching staff. So that's the reason I'm picking them. Mississippi State started off very hot, Trey, but they weren't playing anybody. They were 7-0, I believe, until Alabama took care of them, and then they went straight down. So I like Northwestern in this game. A lot of offense.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Northwestern, you know, I know they're a Big Ten school. We've been hating on the Big Ten, but they're going to want to play in this game. They're going to want a lot of pride in this game to win this game. You know, they beat Vanderbilt earlier this year, and if you know that actually means something. I know chat room was hating on Vanderbilt, but I think Vanderbilt's a pretty good football team this year. So they beat Vanderbilt earlier this year, and that kind of means something to me. You know, going into the postseason, when you look at, you know, who they played this year, and are they ready to play a team who's at least a little bit physical? And Mississippi State will be a little bit physical with them, but you're right, Mississippi State hasn't faced anyone of any competition and done well. I mean, they've been beaten up every single time they've played, and the fact that they got blown out by an Ole Miss, Tarvin, that's sort of my indicator for this game. I think Northwestern wins this football game.
All right, and Jonathan in the chat room thinks Northwestern will rout Mississippi State. So that's a strong statement. But, hey, we're all three in agreement here. So a lot of people are picking the SEC, but in this one I just don't feel it. So good pick, Trey.
Yep, and this one's the Dallas Bowl, Tarvin. Interesting name, but there's a full name, but I'm calling it the Dallas Bowl. Purdue at 6-6 versus Oklahoma State.
Man, Oklahoma State will thrash Purdue. I mean, you're talking about offense. Oklahoma State can score points, and they can score them in a hurry. Again, Purdue, a Big Ten team, not that impressive in the Big Ten. So I have to go with Oklahoma State in this game. You know, Gundy, the coach for Oklahoma State, Trey, is going to try to put up 80 points if he can.
Yeah, I agree. There's not much to say. Purdue has a what would make you think Purdue is going to win this game? Oklahoma State, the better football team, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, there's not much you can say. I mean, their favorite's 17 points, so that should tell you enough in a bowl game.
Yeah. Well, leading to a pretty good game matchup last, Tarvin. Some people are thinking this is an upset. Number 10, South Carolina, 10-2 in the Outback Bowl versus number 18, Michigan, 8-4. This has kind of historically been a game that sometimes the Big Ten upsets the SEC in, Tarvin. Do you give Michigan any chance to upset South Carolina?
No, and I just think it's because of the defensive line and defense of South Carolina. Like you were talking about LSU earlier, you know they're going to play defense. Well, you know South Carolina being able to prepare and rest and heal up from those injuries will shut down Michigan. I mean, you saw Alabama do it at the first of the year, and I think you'll see South Carolina finish them off. So Michigan could start off and end, Trey, with embarrassing losses against SEC teams.
Yeah, and, you know, this is an important game for Michigan and all of their hopes and dreams. The fact that, you know, they came in as gangbusters this year, they were going to beat Alabama and they were going to be a national championship contender. But, I mean, their four losses this year, Tarvin, were they competitive? And then they lost to Notre Dame, they were very competitive in that game. But they only scored 6 points against Notre Dame. I mean, that offense, when it's tested by a real defense, 14 against Alabama. I mean, Tarvin, 9 against Nebraska. When they face any kind of defense with any physicality, they haven't played very well. So you're right. I think South Carolina wins this game. I think the score is going to be very similar to what we saw with the Alabama score at the beginning of the year. South Carolina beat a pretty decent Clemson team, and we're very physical with them. So, you know, South Carolina wins this game, I think, very similarly to what we saw earlier in the year with Alabama.
And I think one thing to watch out for, Trey, is South Carolina's offense. I really do believe they can score some points on that Michigan defense and look for them to try to really blow out Michigan to make a statement coming into next year. I think, you know, South Carolina will be good. Will they be as good as this year? They're losing a lot. So we'll see, man. I like South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tarvin, leads us into the Capital One Bowl, which is another bowl that I've heard some talk about. Number 7, Georgia, 11-2. You keep talking about is do they want to be there? I mean, Georgia's got to have a huge crushing defeat in the championship game, having a shot to win that game and be in the national championship game, and now they find themselves all the way down in the Capital One Bowl, playing number 16, 10-3 Nebraska, who just got just absolutely throttled in their championship game by Wisconsin. So, Harvin, who wants to be here and who's actually going to perform in this game?
Well, I think, Georgia, the way they ended the season, I know some people say, well, they want to be there. They don't want to, repeat that. They should have played for a national championship. Well, I think that would be the case if the quarterback wasn't coming back next year. I think Aaron Murray and company, they're going to come out and play for pride. They're going to try to show the nation that they had a very good football team and deserving of a national championship. So I'm going to say they're going to blow Nebraska out. I couldn't see Nebraska stopping these guys. They run the ball, Trey. They run hard, and they have great receivers, a big tight end. I see no way Nebraska can slow this offense down.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at this matchup and you're looking at, the keys, I mean, the fact that you've seen Nebraska's defense give up absurd points at times this year, I mean, 63 to Ohio State, 70 to Wisconsin, these aren't vaunted offenses they gave up these points to, Tarvin. I mean, 36 to UCLA. I just don't see them performing very well against Georgia's defense. I know that they was it Jenkins who just got suspended off Georgia's defense. I know that that's going to hurt them, but I don't think it hurts them enough to matter in this game. I think Georgia wins this game. I think it'll be a little closer than probably you think, Tarvin. I think Nebraska will hang around until the fourth quarter, but I think Georgia is going to be a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. So Jonathan's with us in the chat room as well on that.
All right, Tarvin. Moving on to the Rose Bowl. This is, there's two BCS games on the first, Tarvin. The Rose Bowl's got to be, if not the least, one of the least interesting games out there when it comes to BCS games. 8-5 Wisconsin, who just hung 70 on Nebraska, has lost 5 times this year, and they're making a BCS game. Facing number 6, 11-2 Stanford. Does Stanford look past Wisconsin in this game? I mean, Wisconsin, the coaching, all the coaching moves, they have the old ball coach, Barry Alvarez, coming back to coach them in this game. Does he give them that boost they need to upset Stanford?
Yeah, that's one thing. I think Wisconsin, I mean, playing the big boys, out of all the teams, Florida, Bama, anybody like that, this is a good team, like Oregon, Kansas State. I think Wisconsin matches up well with Stanford, Trey, and Stanford's offense is not that explosive, which will allow Wisconsin's defense not to get exposed. So I like Wisconsin to be able to keep this game close. I think Stanford wins by a field goal out in California, but Wisconsin's going to play respectable. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be close for them, people would assume, just because Wisconsin is, those 5 losses. I think that obviously people are expecting kind of a blowout, but I think it's going to be a very close game. But I think Stanford's going to be very well prepared in this game. And, all the stuff that's been going on at Wisconsin, I just don't think that's enough for them to win this game.
Yeah, and Jonathan in the chat room is picking Wisconsin to run right through Stanford, he said. So we'll see, man. It's an interesting matchup. Could you imagine if Wisconsin was playing Oregon or Kansas State?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely got the team they match up pretty well against. I mean, obviously, this is the matchup that they could win, so we'll see.
All right, well, is that the last game on the college?
Well, no, Tarvin, there's one more BCS game on the first, and I know that a lot of people were very angry about this matchup. It's Northern Illinois. They are number 15 in the country, 12-1. They lost their head coach. They're facing Florida State, who's 11-2, won the ACC. Sort of backed in by losing to Florida, 11-2 themselves, and they've lost almost all their defensive coaches and their running backs coach, the Tarvin. I mean, is this an upset for Northern Illinois?
I want to go back. Jonathan's picking Wisconsin 23-17, but no, Florida State, Trey, is going to annihilate Northern Illinois. I think it's just too many athletes on the field for Florida State. They're at home in Florida. They don't have to really travel for this bowl game. I think they want to make a statement. And I know people think they don't want to be there to play that team, but I'm telling you this, Florida State does not want to be embarrassed either, Trey, and lose this game.
Well, I think you made a good point. Jimbo Fisher, as much as I was questioning his preparation going into bowl games or preparation going into games, he's actually been a pretty good coach when it comes to prepping for bowl games. And the fact that Tarvin, I think they have to perform very well in this game because Jimbo Fisher now is fighting for recruiting lives. And this guy has already had a couple guys decommit on the defense because they've lost they've lost all these coordinators. And then they lost their running back coach in Grand, and they have a five-star guy in Green who they're trying to keep at running back. And so they're going to want to come out and show this offense is still very capable.
Yeah. Well, Trey, I want to go to the phone lines real quick. I have the 727 area code. I think it's Jonathan. What's going on, man?
Not much, guys. Just watching this, the Pizza Bowl. I'm trying to figure out why this is even nationally televised. But talking about Florida State, before I even get to the game, I want to bring Trey's comment on how we're losing recruits. Trey, you're right. A couple guys have decommitted because they want to go to Kentucky. They want to follow Mark. But what you're ignoring is the guys who are decommitting from Alabama because they want to stay with Pruitt. And I believe we got Sunseri, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Sunseri is our new linebackers coach.
Yeah,
that's correct, yeah.
So I think we'll just on defensive recruits, since, you know, Alabama gets pretty good ball players there, and everybody loves Sunseri. Losing coach Eddie Hertz, I can't express how much it sucks to lose him. He was a good coach. He's a good guy. And he was one of the best recruiters in the nation. Everybody said so. He's actually, there was a top 25 rankings for top recruiters, and I believe he was top five because he dominated South Florida. But we'll be able to find a way to replace that with Coach Sunseri and with Coach Pruitt, and I'm pretty sure we'll do fine. Speaking about John Jenkins, he was ruled academically ineligible for the game, and that's because he's declaring for the draft. He quit going to class. Let you guys know that.
Well, he's a senior.
Have your priorities.
He's a senior, and he quit going to class. That's not good.
Yeah. So he's going. Yeah, which that should be a red flag for anybody. When you want to talk about, well, is this guy going to stay fully committed? Well, he just quit going to class because he's going to the draft, you know. Not somebody I would want my team to pick. But now, talking about the Florida State-Northern Illinois game, we have a lot to play for in recruits. We have a lot to play for when it comes down to pride and just knowing that if we lose Northern Illinois, we'll be the biggest joke. I mean, could you think of just the laughing stock of college football to lose to them? I mean, at the same time, Northern Illinois is number 15. They played good football this year. The MAC has played exceptionally strong out of conference, but we can't afford to lose for the fact that we were ranked number 3 at one point in the season.
Yeah.
Am I expecting a blowout? No, of course not. But I hope we put up at least 35 points to prove, you know, EJ, you know, Manuel's trying to prove his draft stock with Logan falling and Barkley falling and Geno falling. If Manuel can try to improve his stock by going out on top, who knows what's going to happen, right?
Yep, you're right. Well, Jonathan, man, I want to thank you for calling in and listening to the show tonight. We always enjoy you calling in. So, Trey, that's the last college game. Anything else on your mind before we leave tonight?
No, you know, just one of the things that I did want to talk about, Tarvin, is, you know, before we left that game, as we talked about the MAC and, you know, at a conference, we're going to see, we'll know a little bit more by Sunday about the MAC. So far, the MAC hasn't done very well in bowls. They were 0-2 coming in tonight, and I know Central Michigan is up by 3 on Western Kentucky, so we'll have to see about the MAC, you know, how well they end up performing in the bowls. But right now, you know, they started off 0-2, which should show you a little bit something when it comes down to that Northern Illinois team.
Yeah, and hopefully Sunday night we'll have a big show, Trey. So make sure everybody tunes into that. We had over 20,000 listeners to Sunday night's show, which is very impressive being around the holidays. And I know the day after Christmas is tough on the listeners, so if you couldn't get us live tonight, catch us on the archives. It's all good. Follow us on Twitter, at Land Sports. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Follow our Land Sports Talk show. Get the live updates. Anytime a show's changed, rescheduled, anything to do with it. And guys, we love bringing you guys sports and talking sports, Trey.
Yeah, you know, and just we're not done talking about these big games on the 31st and the 1st. We wanted to kind of preview, get our picks out there for you guys tonight like we normally would do, but just get ready for some more talk about, you know, these New Year's Day and New Year's Eve games, and of course the games that come after that, Tarvin, which, you know, Wednesday's show will be all about. But, you know, be ready for some more talk about these games and, of course, the playoffs and NFL. So.
Yep, a lot to go over Sunday night. Probably we'll go 2 hours. We're going to go an hour and a half tonight just for the holidays and everything. Get people. I got to go to work tomorrow, Trey. I've been off since last Thursday, so it's going to be tough on me.
Yeah. You got to go back to work. I'm still off tomorrow, so I'm off all week. So have fun at work, Tarvin.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. But Roger joined us in the chat room from NDB Media. Thanks for joining us. You're about an hour and a half late, Roger, so we're going to have to end. So at least he got to listen to 2 minutes of our show.
Well, he'll listen to the archive, I'm sure, and he'll catch us on Sunday.
Exactly. Well, everybody take care and have a great night, and we'll see you Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.
All right, man. Out.
All right.